You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today, and it's for me. Let us pray. Oh God, I give you thanks for affording me one more opportunity to proclaim your word, and I would ask on this day you would hide me in the shadow of the cross and save me from me. Use me, Lord, in thy service, and allow me to preach your word unafraid and unashamed. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Learning to burn with God. This is not a sermon about going to a certain destination. I just want y'all to know that. I know that we acknowledged and celebrated our mothers and mothering figures last Sunday, but I need to begin today's sermon returning to one of the pillars in my life. I'm talking about my grandmother Margie. And today I want to zero in on an area where my grandmother had no equal, and that was the kitchen. The kitchen. I learned to appreciate many things in my life from my grandmother in the kitchen. I learned about the importance of creating and nurturing authentic relationships with both women and men, although at times I was a slow study. I learned about finances. I learned about people in general, and most of all, I learned about cooking. And what separates someone who dabbles at cooking, you know, a faux cook, from a real cook, somebody who can burn. I learned how to cook all kinds of dishes from my grandmother. My grandmother taught me how to make Italian dishes. She taught me how to cook Jewish dishes. She taught me how to make Creole and Cajun dishes. My grandmother taught me how to bake desserts. And finally, my grandmother taught me how to make soul food. Now, a quick aside, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, where they don't know how to drive this past week. And I had a craving for soul food. So I drove 45 minutes to go 7 miles just to get some soul food. And yes, it was worth it. The only problem was they did not have any peach cobbler, and I was disgusted. Now, I could cook. Growing up, I could cook, but my grandmother could burn. My grandmother was a wonderful cook who out-Ramsay'd Gordon and out-Anderson'd Sonny and even out-Samuelson'd Marcus. No matter how hard I tried, I could not make my food taste like hers. It was kind of disheartening because I paid attention. I mean, I actually watched her and I wanted to learn, but something was missing. Something was missing. And it was not until after my grandmother died that I finally understood what I had been missing. You see, there was always a point while we were in the kitchen where she would send me away from the stove or the oven, and for the briefest of moments, all I could see was her back. You know what I'm talking about. David, would you please go get me some filet for the gumbo? Y'all don't know what filet is, you don't know what gumbo is. It was while I was going to get that filet that my grandmother would slip that special something, that secret ingredient, into her roux. And that special ingredient would transform whatever she was cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. My grandmother could turn and then burn. Her food tasted so good it would make you want to call a stranger long distance just to testify. I know y'all don't know about that. And as I grew older and my skills as a cook increased, I discovered one thing, and that is that all good cooks, I'm not talking about folks that dabble, I'm talking about real cooks, have a point, or they have something that they add, a special ingredient that will transform whatever they're cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. I also learned another invaluable lesson from my grandmother. Don't have too many cooks in the kitchen. In other words, make sure you turn before you burn. In our lesson today, Peter, one of Jesus' main cooks, has some other cooks questioning his recipe. Peter has to defend his actions to the members of the faith community. Peter has been called on the carpet, so to speak, by the Jewish Christians in his church for eating and fellowshipping with Gentile believers. Gentile believers. Now, on the surface, this doesn't really seem like that big a deal. I mean, what's so insignificant about eating at someone else's house? I mean, they may not make their gumbo like us, but it's still gumbo. Right? Wrong. In those days, one of the main ways that a Jew separated themselves from the rest of society was by their diet. A Jew's diet was in keeping with the Torah, and as such, defined them as God's chosen people. This was a big deal. You throw some bacon down in front of an observant Jew, and some of them would rather die than eat it. The law said, don't eat it, and I ain't eating it. That's the David Gilmour translation. Some have heard me refer to our Jewish cousins as our cousins, and it goes much deeper than just being one of God's children. I'm talking about turning and burning. Some of us get so wrapped up in tradition. I'm about to get in some folks' kitchen now. Some of us get so wrapped up in tradition, you know, following the directions for that recipe that worked yesterday, that we forget to add that special ingredient from the divine, that something that is missing from God's recipe now. You know what I'm talking about. What do you mean I've got to invite people that I don't know, or I know and I don't really like, to come to church? What do you mean that type of person will be sitting next to me on my pew? You know, some of us have pews. Got quiet. Why can't we just have our kind of people here? You know, people who look like us and act like us and smell like us and spin like us, come worship with us. We, like our cousins in the story, get caught up being clicked up, whether we are an insider or an outsider. Some of us are so holy, so pious, so churchy, that we forget why we do what we do and for whom we do it. We have not turned, and we are trying to burn. And something is missing. We are supposed to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be a hospital for sinners. We are supposed to be a community of wounded healers. We are supposed to be that authentic safe space for society's least, last, and lost. This means that outsiders are really insiders who do not know Jesus. And the insiders are really outsiders who walk with Jesus. Now, the writer of Ephesians refers to it, and John Wesley bases one of the tenets of Methodism on being saved by grace through faith, which is a gift of God. What that means for us today is that our faith community, our church, should be comprised of insiders, acknowledging not that long ago we were outsiders. I know I'm talking to somebody else right now. Our faith community should be comprised of the attorney and the one who needs an attorney. Our faith community should be comprised of the physician and the one in need of a physician, the one who makes a joyful noise, and the one who's been instructed by the choir director, just mouth the word watermelon and don't say anything. We need to turn if we want to learn to burn with God. It is when we walk with Jesus, it's when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our steps, it's when we are the church that we do things that we cannot explain, but we just know God's calling us to act. Talking about reaching out to that substance abuse clinic right up the street, or volunteering to mentor troubled youth inside and outside the faith community, or becoming a positive presence right here in this neighborhood to people who are in a daily struggle just trying to survive. Peter's our model. He didn't know why God wanted him to go to that outsider's house. Peter was a good Jew. He was an activist for his church. He would never eat something unclean or associate with unclean people. Yet God calls Peter to go and witness to Cornelius, a Gentile. And God explains to Peter and to us that we do not determine who is the right kind of person and who is the wrong kind of person. God tells us what God has made clean, we must not call profane. God's telling us, and this is the David Gilmour translation, let me handle my business. We are so used to adding our own special ingredient that we have forgotten to ask for God's directions. We have forgotten to turn before we burn. It's when we turn to burn, it's when we follow God's recipe, it's when we add that God sent special ingredient, then we see that the person infected with AIDS is a saint, that recovering opioid addict is a mother or a father of the church, that former houseless person is a Sunday school teacher, that once was and still am drunk is a member of the choir, and that no good, low down, good for nothing, not good enough so-and-so is a preacher. Yes, church, quite a few of us could learn from Peter when he was on the verge of losing his status in the church, when he was on the verge of losing his position in the community, when he was on the verge of losing his place in society. Peter simply says, who was I to hinder God? Who are we to hinder God? Something's missing in our recipe. Peter realized that the same God that he served as an insider was the same God of the outsiders. Peter realized that the same God who promised to never leave him or forsake him promised to never leave or forsake anybody. Peter recognized that his limitations, and knew that he's not the one that makes disciples. It's God working through him that makes disciples. I said Peter recognizes his limitations, and he realizes he's not the one saving souls. The same Holy Spirit that lives in Peter lives in those unclean folks too. Something's missing in our recipe. We need to turn if we really want to burn. Let's be honest. Not that I would accuse anyone here of not being honest, but let's be honest. Most of us love the Lord in a manner that makes us comfortable. You know what I'm talking about here. As long as we're in our sandbox, as long as we're playing in our rice bowl, we can meet and greet. We can love and care. We can nurture and empathize for anyone. But Lord, don't let us have to step outside of our sandbox. Our smiles become frowns, our open hands close up, and our warm hearts turn to stone. And what we don't seem to understand is that God's sandbox is so much bigger than ours. God's playground is so much larger than ours. There are more of God's children out there than we could ever fit in here. God calls us to step outside what makes us comfortable, unlike us. God's desire is for everyone to be saved, not just those who fit our picture of who should be a member of our clique, I mean church. I did say church. If we call ourselves Christian, if we claim to love the Lord, if we're trying to get ourselves ready for that trip to heaven, we need to get rid of our clique and join Jesus' clique. You know, get rid of the thoughts about how we should dress and clothe ourselves in righteousness. Do away with thoughts of how we should speak and learn the language of love. End the disgrace of unwed parenting and become children of the Most High God. Something is missing from our recipe. We need to turn before we burn. And some of us with the insiders need to go back just a few years. Some of us a few months. Some of us a few days or hours. and remember what happened when we tried our own special ingredient. We need to go back and remember when that special ingredient was something that may have taken us away from God, you know, a liquor bottle or a joint or a line of cocaine or even a slot machine. We need to go back and remember when that special ingredient was that man or that woman, the opening kickoff, or yes, I said it, the first pitch. We need to go back and remember when that special ingredient was breaking promises and breaking hearts. Yes, church, we need to go back and remember how we used to be, where we used to be, who we used to be, and then hopefully realize just how good God is. We need to realize just how far God has truly brought us. Realize how truly blessed we are. And then once we get to that point, then we have the main ingredient, that someone that we call Jesus. When we have Jesus as our main ingredient, we go where Jesus went. We reach out to the sick and the dying. We reach out to those with special needs. We reach out to widows and orphans. We reach out to children. We reach out to those that the world ignores and uses and abuses. God has given us the recipe with that special ingredient. When we have trouble in our home, try a pinch of Jesus. When we have problems on our job, mix in a teaspoon of Jesus. With our relationship on the rocks, try a shot of Jesus. When our health begins to fail, try a dose of Jesus. When our church is attacked, inside and out, pour in, pour on, pour over just a little Jesus, and then watch what happens. Watch what happens. We'll be like those folks who were ready to fire Peter. We'll praise God from whom all blessings flow. We'll sing praises because God has brought us through the stormy blast. We'll shout praises because God alone is worthy to be praised. I'm a little sensitive about folks or calling folks outsiders or insiders, because you know it wasn't too long ago that I was one of those folks. And every time that I would try a special ingredient besides Jesus, my kitchen kept catching on fire. I would add some alcohol and watch my kitchen burn up. I would add something that was not legal and I would watch my kitchen burn up. I would add mixing or chasing women and I would watch my kitchen burn up. Every time that I experimented with something or someone other than Jesus, I was reaching for a fire extinguisher. And then one day I tried Jesus and my whole world changed. I tried Jesus and I found out that yes, I could make it through the stormy blast because Jesus had turned me into a storm rider. I was able to know that yes, I thought I may have been alone, but Jesus was with me even in the midst of the river. And I found out that yes, I had been fed something that I could feed to someone else. So here I am today, offering a meal to anyone who's hungry for something that is real and lasting. I'm here today to offer a meal that will fill you up with something that will make you not want to look anywhere else. I'm here today to offer a meal that is the bread of life for those who are starving spiritually. I'm here today to offer you a meal where Jesus is the main course. And if you want to burn, just turn towards Jesus. If you really want to learn how to burn, turn towards Jesus. And to all I offer, shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org.